From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spill, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome, all you Beers with the Brewers listeners. Today is the April 16th, 2020 episode of Beers with the Brewers. We've got Walt Keys.
Howdy.
Adam Benner.
Hello.
And Mark Richards. That's me. The topic of today's show is Quadra Hopic IPA version 202, the new one. We finally got it out. Four bullet points. Mango, papaya, citrus, dank.
So dank.
Definitely dank.
Definitely dank. Thanks, Hodge. Super tropical, too, would you guys say?
I think you'd throw mango and papaya in with that in the tropical sort of umbrella. So for sure, yeah.
Yeah. So taco and chili pairings this week. There's nothing on the notes, so you can just eat whatever you got. Probably leftover ham. Man. That's what I'm having.
Yeah, you probably got a weird variety of food in your pantry right now, and
got a lot of leftover ham, huh, Mark?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a little bit of. You know, maybe just have the ham bone left. You throw that in a pot, add some water, you know, bring that to a boil, and you know, baby, you got a stew going.
Oh, yeah. There was no ham bone in the Ray Ray's hams.
Well, you could still make a good stew out of that. Just ask your old boy, Carl Weathers. He'll tell you all about it.
Well, probably do some soup beans, and that's kind of a chili when you do the ham bone and soup beans.
Sure. Why not?
It's chili-like. So, what about upcoming events, Walt? We got more drive-through and delivery this week?
Oh, yeah. We'll keep rolling, and y'all out there keep ordering, so we keep bringing it to you, and I really appreciate the support. Now we got some new beer to bring you, so you're going to want to get your order in for this this Quad 202 for sure. It's delicious. But, yeah, no real events on the horizon right now. I think we're all just anxiously following the news every day to see when we can think about opening back up.
Speaking of that, the lieutenant governor yesterday made some comments about opening back up. Still no timeline or anything. A lot of people think in May, but who knows? I think from our perspective, we're operating under the assumption that even when things do open up, that there's probably going to be some restrictions on number of folks that will be able to come to the tap room or any of your favorite bars and restaurants. So. We were just going through the past couple days about how we're going to manage that when it comes to what beers we have out, what we're putting on draft versus in cans and all that stuff. So you loyal listeners out there will probably learn before anyone else what all's coming out and all that exciting thing. So and when we have some ideas on events, you know, when we shut all this down, there was talks of some fun Jumbotron viewing. This past weekend would have been a Masters viewing, but probably the first bit of sports news was PGA Tour is talking to come back. So that's at least something that we might be able to watch on TV. There might not be any spectators there, but we're getting there. So hopefully we'll have some more brewery specific events. But
yeah, it's better than nothing. At least to be able to watch some golf. Without spectators, you can still watch it on TV while quarantine.
I will say I did watch the last year's Masters tournament on Sunday and saw Mr. Tiger Woods win his, what was it, 15th major, 14th major? Oh, I should know this. But it was a great viewing for, it was 15th. It was his 15th major. It's great viewing if you hadn't seen it last year. The suspense was still there, so.
Well, why do I keep hearing the date May 15 lately? Is that just California? Maybe New York? Like, I know that we were supposedly locked until May 1st as a recent extension.
Yeah, I think California's been doing a little more I saw in the news today they were forming an alliance with some other West Coast states to create a grander plan on reopening some things. I think since they were one of the first areas, the West Coast, to be hit, they might be a little bit ahead of the rest of us, but I know our stay-at-home order goes through May 1st. There are some states that go longer, but I think even when you look at various states' restrictions, those stay-at-home orders might be completely different, so it's tough to even say what lifting of those orders actually means.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting.
But hopefully.
Interesting to see how things go back, Adam.
Yeah, the thing, talking about events and timing, I mean, we were looking when as kind of an insight into quality and how we look at things at the brewery. We, being a smaller brewery and most smaller craft breweries, and it's probably a lot more rare at this point to find anyone that is actually pasteurizing their beers. And, you know, when we look at our cans, they're not pasteurized, so they are living on the shelf. We stick about a 90-day shelf life on all of our package products, similar in kegs. Something's kept cold and on carbon dioxide, it may last a little longer, but just especially when you have those hoppier varieties, some of those aromatics and hot flavors start wearing out earlier. So that 90-day shelf life, well, this all started on April 16th or March 16th.
Yeah, March 15th was the Sunday they shut it down.
Yep. Yeah, so we already had kegs at accounts or kegs at our distributor, kegs that had been packaged for a while, and then still had beers in tanks. So we halted all of our production. We haven't brewed a new batch of beer since the total shutdown in the past month. And essentially, if we were to open even May 15th, all of the kegs that we have out there will be out of code. So
yeah.
That's an interesting thing. We're not the only brewery. If you follow closely with breweries, some of the larger folks and are buying back beers. I know our distributor, Columbus Distributing, bought back a bunch of beers from once the first announcement happened from accounts. But you're going to have a lot of beer out there in kegs, not just from us, all over the place, that is not going to be saleable at the end of this. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to all that. Hate to see all the beer go to waste. It's been cool to see a few people order them for their home kegerators, which is an option. We also will deliver those as part of our delivery and pickup service, but there's hundreds of kegs, hundreds of thousands of kegs out there that essentially are going to go to waste. And talking about the economic impact of a lot of this, that's one of the largest thing that's going to hit the industry, whether it's our distributor friends all across the country or brewers themselves. We're fortunate that a lot of our product is generally put in cans, as most larger breweries. So they at least can sell that beer. But it's not like you can hook a keg up to our canning line and keg off some cans and ensuring the quality of that beer. So that's kind of the next development from the industry that I think a lot of us are looking at. It'll be interesting because that affects everyone from the small breweries all the way up to the largest folks and all the distributors out there. So, and depending on where folks are and whether it's a self-distributing brewery or distributor, whether or not they're going to be able to help out their retail partners that might be sitting on a bunch of kegs themselves that went bad, not because they weren't busy, because of their own problems, because of the overall shutdown. So that's kind of the next phase now that we all, with the COVID-3 bill, the CARES Act, can figure out some payroll and rent and utilities and that kind of stuff. That's the next phase, and that's affecting our industry.
Yeah, definitely going to be some product loss out there.
It kind of stinks too. We had so if you're out there listening and have a kegerator and we have a batch of double dry stiff arm that I think we've only sold a couple of kegs. We've had a few folks that have ordered a couple kegs during the lockdown. And one of the last ones, he ordered a stiff arm. We surprised him with a double dry hop stiff arm. Hopefully he was happy with that.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I ran one up to Worthington one day to a guy with a kegerator, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's usually a beer that only comes out during the anniversary party, and we thought it'd be a good little springtime treat and doing a larger batch that we could get out and only kegged it, didn't can it right the shutdown. So we got a bunch of that. So
we're talking like a week before the shutdown too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. None. I don't think any, I don't even know if any made it to our distributor. So yeah, we still got drive through and delivery. We posted new hours for the pickup. Right now we're just going to be operating the pickup service at the brewery from Thursday until Sunday. If you do place an order online, you can risk it. There might be someone here. You can come down if you place it on a Monday through Wednesday. Generally during the day, there's still someone operating out of the tap room, but no guarantees. So okay, if you're doing pickup, that's going to be Thursday through Sunday, but we still got delivery from Tuesday all the way through Sunday as well. We're taking Monday off to restock. Folks have been ordering a lot of beer. We really appreciate all the support out there. And if you have a question about whether we'll deliver to your area, just try it. We really have no problem sending beer into the Central Ohio area. Right now, I think the farthest we'll probably go is up to Delaware in the north, out east. Where have we gone, Mark? You know,
To the east. I've been out like Berwick, Gahanna,
Pataskala. I think
Pataskala over to New Albany.
Yeah, New Albany.
Pickerington.
South, we had one down in the Orient, Orient, Ohio, which is south of Grove City.
Yep.
Down over Groveport, and out west. You know, just try it. We might be able to figure out how to get that beer out there. I know to our friends out in Cleveland and Dayton and Cincinnati, we haven't thought that far ahead, but I know we have started talking, and by that I mean I thought about it yesterday and I'm bringing it up now, so now we are talking about it. We might be able to figure out, maybe, you know, once a week we pick an area and, you know, hey, west side of Cleveland, we're going to be up there on Thursday, get your orders in. Might be an opportunity for us to introduce some beer to some of our friends in Northeast Ohio or Southwestern Ohio.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, I muted Walt again because we were getting so much noise while you're talking. But there, you're back, Walt. Sorry.
I was just opening a beer.
You don't have these fancy mics that Mark and I'm above the Kickstarter room, not in the Kickstarter room. I'm up in the office and grabbed one of our original USB mics that we had here for Beers of the Brewers. And I think Mark has one.
Yeah, I just got the standard issue Apple iPod original earbuds.
Earbuds, yeah. Oh.
Wow.
My ears will not permit those to stay in. I must have really jacked up design in my ears, but they totally reject Apple earbuds.
That's why they made those AirPod Pro for people like you.
I'm a pro. I've got pro ears. That's what it is.
You got those, all those pro metal ears. Metal concerts you went to.
Yeah, it probably gave me professional ears from listening to all that good metal.
And yeah, that must be it.
I got to tell you, a couple days ago, Walt, the double header with the 40-year anniversary of Iron Maiden's first record and Judas Priest's British Steel. So,
I mean, it only felt like maybe 4 years ago, maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Can you believe that? How fast time is the last? Like,
seems like
years,
only about
4 decades.
It feels like only 35 years for me.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's 40.
Yeah, it was 40. Right. It was 40. Okay. So,
you say so,
Adam. You're talking about all this shelf life, and I've got to tell you, a beer in front of me that I'm not worried about shelf life on at all, because it just fell into the can when I popped by the brewery to grab some deliveries, is this Quadrahopic.
Literally today.
202.
That was a pro ear transition, Mark.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, it's an
IPA.
Since
we don't have a brewer, Mark, tell us about this beer. You've brewed some beer in the past.
Yeah, I've been known to brew beer, so I'll tell you what. Quadrahopic is an IPA, and it's a rotating quarterly series. This quarter came out just a little bit late, and mostly because we just weren't sure what we were going to do with all our beer, since nobody was going to be coming to the tap room or going to restaurants and bars to drinking it. But we've got it in a can now, and it is tasting delicious. We got it available for pickup and delivery as of today. weighing in at 6.7% alcohol by volume. IBUs are at 35. There's a lot of hops in here, but they're all late edition and dry hop. Mosaic, Bravo, Centennial, and Equinot. And it's our two-row Craftmaster blend that we use as a base in just silo. About all of our beers from our silo that you see out in the parking lot. When you're down at the tap room, and only if you're getting drive-through beer at this point, this recipe was formulated with maximum hop saturation in mind. One of our brewers was reading a book, The New IPA by Scott Janisch, and he wrote about beers testing higher in intensity that were high in oxygenated hop oils, the part that is the most soluble. He listed the hops that were the highest in these hop oils, and I think this is probably Dan. Wondered what would happen if you combine the hops exclusively from that list. So all of these hops were selected from that list. It's quite a hammer. From Mosaic, you get blueberry, pine, and papaya. From Bravo, orange candy. From Centennial, lemon and orange. And Equinot, you get mango, melon, and papaya. And it is a pretty good blend, I think, guys.
I really do want to commend the brewers on how they've approached Quadra Hopic. If this is your first time listening, not familiar, and Mark touched on it, we're using the base recipe that's the same from every time we brew this, and we're just using four different hops and expressing something different. And if you were to try this next to Quad 201, which there is still some fresh Quad 201 out in market, they've done a really good job not just showing off what the hops can do from flavors and aromatics. It's really encapsulating the season they come out. And the first time that really showed through with me was last year during the summer, which would have been Quad 103. It had a lot of that melony characteristic, perfect late summer, August, September. And then 201, even with the same base recipe, the way that those hops came out really felt like more of an old school IPA to me, that wasn't that juicy. It was more just hoppy, and you get more of that pine and, you know, old school kind of IPA flavor, where this Quadropic Series 202 is kind of that return to that juicy tropical flavors, and these four hops really show that. You get a lot of that mango and papaya, but you still get some of that hints of citrus. So as the weather's turning, again, I'm the one that probably likes talking about the weather the most on this podcast, where last week it was 75 degrees or whatever it was, and today it's 35 degrees. It fits more like last week better, so hopefully the weather turns again. But I feel like it's where, like 201, it was a perfect sitting inside with the heat on. This is going to be a real good porch sipper, a good lawnmower, being outside on the golf course where you're social distancing. I'm digging this beer a lot.
Yeah, I think it's the one that resonates probably the closest to 103, to what I remember of that one, albeit different.
So we're not really pouring these out. I'm drinking out of the can, so I can't really see the visual on it. But
well, I got to tell you, Adam, I've got mine in a Spiegelau IPA glass.
What's it look like?
It's pale gold. It's got... I wouldn't call it hazy by any stretch of the imagination, but there is a slight haze to it. It's not totally bright and clear. But, man, the tropical fruit, citrus, berry, herbal, kind of dank, earthy. It's got a little pine.
Yeah, even getting the aromas through the opening on the can, it's really coming through. Super drinkable beer. Smells great.
Sounds
I got one
great.
Question for the two of you.
How crushable is it?
It is.
Good question.
It's drinking out of the Spiegelau glass, which normally lets you pour almost a beer and a half in there anyway once the head dies down. I've arrived at a two crusher already just since we started the podcast. So I'm going to say, I don't normally go this high. I don't know. I should back it down to a four. Based on the alcohol percentage, But I think just on the flavor and aroma, and the aroma is so strong, you should be able to smell it through this microphone. I'm going to go 5 out of 6 on this one.
Well, Mark, I'm gonna interject here before Walt goes and think that we need a new soundbite that is the "How Crushable Is It?" Quarantine edition. You're gonna get a different result. I think we touched on this the past couple of weeks that you don't need an Uber. You're already at home.
You're safe.
You're not driving anywhere. You can't drive anywhere. You got nowhere to go. I think most people have relaxed how early they start their work happy hours or their work day beer. You still have to be responsible with it, but you can extend that session. So I think you get a bonus point, a bonus serving in your session. So I'm going to go 5 as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think easily. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have 5 beers, for Christ's sake, but it's 5 worthy. I think so. It's so drinkable. It's slamming.
I'm going to make that unanimous. 5.
5 out of 5.
Oh, there we go. We got it. Nailed it. Adam brought to my attention earlier today that we have a question from a listener. We haven't had one for a while.
Haven't had a question in a while, but we do have a question from a listener who has asked a question in the past.
I think that's acceptable.
We're always going to welcome additional questions. Doesn't mean you're going to get another t-shirt, though. You know, once a year, maybe you get a new t-shirt. And I don't think our friend Bob Vecchione has, or Bobby, as we all call him. And then I get confused when I see emails.
I don't know
he goes by the professional Bob, which is his dad's name to both Walt and I. But our good friend, we've known for a while, his sister, Walt and I have known even longer. Old Amy Vecchione,
I can barely remember her.
Who is she moving back to Ohio. She went to college with us.
Oh, okay. So I knew I'd recognize that name.
But old Bob did tell me he did appreciate us continuing with the podcast while he's on quarantine to keep some sanity there in the Vecchione household. So his question was, and he prefaces this in case it wasn't previously discussed, but are there any supply chain issues that we're experiencing due to the shutdown for COVID-19? And if so, how does that affect our summer seasonal releases? You're probably closer on the supplier side for the brewery specifically.
Yeah, I would say, you know, for one, we were pretty well stocked because we were ramping up for spring drinking season, which coming out of January and February, which were kind of slow months, I think across the board for alcohol sales. You know, this is a time of year normally that we're ramping up. So I think pulling a plug on a lot of our schedule being brewed right now has allowed us to have a lot of raw materials already in storage. So I think we should be pretty solid right now, Adam. I would imagine that when they open up bars and restaurants to where we can go full bore again, most other industries and supplies, I think, should be open.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Raw material wise, you know, whether it's cans or grain or hops, we had what we needed. But what the second part of that supply chain is us supplying to our customers. And, you know, we don't know what the return to normalcy or what this relaxed restrictions are going to, how that's going to really affect the bars and restaurants and stadiums and our, you know, airport location, even our tap room. And what we don't want to do is create all these beers and put them in kegs and then, you know, what we're assuming that, you know, your occupancy is going to be 25% of what your fire code status is. So you go from 100 seat restaurant to 25. Well, you're not going to turn over as many beers. And, you know, what we started doing right before the shutdown, we started serving way more beers in cans at the tap room. We were trying to push people towards cans because of concerns that, you know, some guests, ourselves and other guests had that, you know, do I want to be drinking out of a glass? You know, we're sanitizing and cleaning and doing probably a better job than most restaurants, but we know that that can is a single use. You know, there's no risk of someone that might have had COVID beforehand and drinking out of that same vessel. So will most bars and restaurants, could they go to cans? So do we need to have beers in kegs? So
that's a huge question right there. And in an era where you go to the grocery store and you see the parking lot littered with spent rubber gloves, I mean, people aren't even touching stuff, let alone putting it to their lips. So I think single use really makes sense.
Yeah, it's not good for the planet, but right now I think that's better for folks' health. But yeah, it has affected where, you know, we were planning on doing maybe a 25-30% increase in pool party this summer, which would have put it at one of our higher produced beers. Now we're thinking, well, we need to cut back because, you know, there's probably not going to be as many kegs. There's not going to be those occasions that, and we sold that at Moffray Stadium last year. We sold a lot of beer of pool party and quadrahopic to Moffray Stadium. Well, you know, they're going to be significantly less throughout the summer. You know, they're talking maybe July, if and when MLS can come back. So we're cutting back on a lot of that volume we're projecting that we've already bought the ingredients for. So we have them because we contract out most of our hops and, you know, we're ordering the grain by the silo load. So that's not really as big of an issue, but yeah, it'll be interesting on that side. I think that, you know, we thought this year we were going to do a lot more larger volume on less brands, but I think with what we're seeing and more people steering towards cans, the uptick in the off-premise, the bar or the grocery stores, we might go back to coming out with more beers in smaller runs just to keep things fresh and cut through some of the monotony of quarantine life.
Yeah, and we do have also coming up, speaking of that, Adam, all of these, we've got, what, 6 experimental beers? I know, Walt, you pulled together an experimental label that we've got going. I think, mm-hmm. Did Bonnie design that?
Yeah, that was actually Bonnie's handiwork.
Yeah, so if you're ordering through the tap room for drive-through or carry-out, we've got some really exciting products coming up that are going to be in cans that are going to be very exclusive.
Yeah, I think it's Bonnie's first label that's gone to print. So shout out to Bonnie on that one. And yeah, they look sharp. There's been some fun stuff that's getting out there in cans that maybe wouldn't have otherwise. So take advantage and get your hands on it. And yeah, they look sharp. They taste good. Pretty cool thing.
Yeah, these are beers that were brewed before all the shutdown that were going to be draft only. And now, unfortunately for that plan, but fortunate for all of you at home,
yeah,
we're going to throw a bunch of those in cans and can up some of our pilot batches, which we've never really done before.
Yeah, so which it is going to be pretty cool to be able to have those at home, and I'm looking forward to grabbing some 6-packs as well. So on this experimental series, we've got in cans coming, and what would you say, Adam? We'll probably roll these out.
Next 2 weeks.
In the next 2 weeks, and probably, yeah.
Through the end of April, early May.
Yep, early May. And we're looking at a Cashmere single hop pale ale. We've got a double dry hop stiff arm, as Adam was alluding to earlier. A hazy pale ale, also in the experimental. An experimental tropical IPA. And a Nordic Pilsner, also experimental. Mm-hmm. So, and we've also got a new one under the experimental series called La Terrasse, which should be pretty interesting.
It's French for the terrace. I know that. But that's going to be a strawberry pale. It should be pretty tight.
Spoiler alert. Is that the Splendid 2020?
That is a pilot? That is, well, it's a pilot for that. Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, for all you juicy IPA fans, if you... We kept warning you. We kept warning everyone on the podcast that you better grab your fruit slices because it's going to sell out. And that was from the size of batch that was the fastest selling beer in the history of Land Grab. So
fair warning.
We're out of it at Sap Room. The distributor's out of it. You can still probably find it around the grocery stores around town, but spoiler alert, we're brewing it again. So
oh, yeah.
If you didn't have an opportunity to get it, or if you did and you loved it, next week we're brewing another batch. So that'll be another couple weeks out that fruit slices will return, but that is we're super excited for that. For you tart fans, we haven't had a semi-sour tart beer, and Mr. Balloon Hands is making his return cans.
Yeah.
I think we did a small run of cans at one point, or did we never do that?
Yes, we did
a small run.
Just on plain Balloon Hands. Just on a
plain
Berliner Weiss, no flavoring. So
if you were at our 5th anniversary party, we had multiple flavor, different varieties that the brewers put together, and this one is Brewer Patrick's variation, Strawberry Lavender, Mr. Balloon Hands. Was the biggest hit at that party, and that is going cans next week. So super excited for that. Another great springtime beer, and the return of my favorite beer in two weeks, Pool Party.
Week of
May 4th will be out. We talk about it a lot on the podcast. We also have so our friends at the Cap City Half Marathon, that would have been going on, next weekend? This weekend? One of these weekends.
Yeah,
Next weekend.
Unfortunately, obviously, that's been postponed, but we had already brewed the beer to come out, so we're excited to have that beer under a different name for release, so look for that. It is a low-calorie, what are we calling it?
Low-calorie saison.
Mm-hmm. Saison.
Yeah, so kind of a petite saison, pretty low in calories.
About, what was 110 calories?
105.
105. So,
as you're coming out of quarantine and need to get a little more back into shape, but don't want to cancel all your quarantine day drinking, is a perfect beer for that. So it's going to be called Athleisure.
Yeah.
It's coming out, 2 weeks as well, potentially.
Yeah, everybody's wearing athleisure wear right now, and I'll tell you, those sweatpants will put you in denial when you put a pair of jeans on for the first time and realize there's no give.
That is probably a good thing about why I have – maybe the biggest reason why I have been coming down to the brewery, helping out with the deliveries and the carry out and just making sure someone's here in case we get deliveries, but – I have found I think it was Sunday. I did stay in my sweatpants the entire day, and my slippers. So it was bad.
There's been a lot of beer drinking. I think you mentioned, Adam, that the self-imposed rule on what time of a day you can have a beer has been relaxed quite a bit.
It's been pretty lax.
Yeah, it's pretty lax. We got Wine with DeWine at 2 p.m. and I've been using it ever since Dan said it, albeit giving him props every time. I'm an ales with Acton type of guy. Got to get on those ales with Acton.
This Quadrahopic's a good ales with Acton beer, and they've pushed it back. It isn't starting just at 2 anymore. It seems like it's getting a little later. So maybe
that's a direct reaction to the Wine with DeWine.
You're probably right.
They don't want the state shut down at 2 o'clock every day.
Loss of productivity. They always say that March Madness is like a $1 billion in lost productivity, and now it's probably the governor's daily update is when everyone stops working.
That's awesome.
Starts drinking.
Yeah.
What other, I guess since last week, any new, before we sign off, any new quarantine activities, anything you get, new shows that maybe people haven't watched yet? I think we're all getting through a lot of the suggestions that we have made in the past.
Yeah.
We also might need to compile this. We had some good obscure shows a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I threw that Tiger King right out. Done with that. I tried 3 episodes.
Yeah, that's pretty obscure. Not many people have caught on to that one.
Yeah, I don't even understand why are people watching that? Why does it even exist? I don't even want
Mark,
to give
because
that
it was awesome. It was great.
All right.
But I mean, everyone in America has already watched it.
He reminded me a lot of you, so I can see why you'd bond with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Any other new stuff for the past week you discovered?
No, I'm going to go with Euchre again this Thursday, which I'll probably be a little hungover Friday morning. Got a little out of control last week. I think we played 11 games. Brian kept lying to us and saying we were still tied, and everybody grabbed another drink and just kept rolling with it.
Yeah, we had a good game of Jack the other night.
Nice.
Have to get that back on.
Yeah.
Except it did start bugging out towards the end, so we got to figure that out. Yeah. The internet can't handle all of us on there at once. Mine,
too much.
That's the other benefit content of being at the brewery. There's no one down in Franklinton using internet right now, so
yeah,
I got all the pipes.
Well, here in Clintonville, I was down to like 0.43 megabytes per second one morning. I just couldn't do anything, and I was really trying to work on a computer at the time. So that's all right. I came down and pulled some deliveries with you.
Well, if you if we haven't mentioned a show that you're watching, feel free to send us a message. Cheers at LandGrantBrewing.com, Instagram, Facebook. Let us know what you're getting into this quarantine. We might have did we tease it last week? We got a fun thing coming out with our friends at Scott's. I think we did talk.
Yeah,
about
we
that,
did.
So.
Yeah,
it got a little delay on the launch of it, but you probably wouldn't have been wanting to do yard work anyways with the frost in central Ohio. They kept talking about bringing all your plants in the past couple days, and the lady on the news said, well, this is why you're not even supposed to do any plantings in Ohio until Mother's Day, and you got that going for you. So
right.
Oh yeah.
So you can get yourself some Scots and order some Greenskeeper, but thanks everyone for listening. Be safe out there, and you can't tip your bartender, but if you're ordering delivery, tip your delivery driver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're good people. They're driving around. We're going up to Delaware tomorrow.
Oof.
Delaware.
Oof. That's a long haul.
If you're in an outlying place, let us know, and maybe we'll schedule a delivery day up there in the next couple weeks. But thanks everyone for listening. Be safe. Thank you guys. Enjoy this beer.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for listening,
everybody. And thanks, Bob Vecchione, for an excellent question, by the way.
Cheers. Yep. Cheers.
Whoa, 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 whoa. There's still plenty of meat on that bone. Now you take this home, throw it in a pot, add some broth, a potato. Baby, you got a stew going.